Hello, and welcome to another rousing episode of No Killing Goblins. I'm Dragonus. As always, we have Oshi.
Hi.
And today we have a special guest. One of our editors, Liquid Ender, is coming on to also do the podcast with us.
Hello. I think I'm supposed to speak now, but my brain is like empty right now. We did a recording yesterday and I have nothing new to talk about. What am I supposed to talk about? Oh my god, I gotta vamp for like an hour. I guess we should just talk to our guests straight up. Let's not try to talk about ourselves today.
Yeah, it'll be hard for us, but I guess we'll have to not talk about ourselves for once. Liquid Ender, how's your week been?
It's been all right. I've been working on school mostly. I've got some stuff for exams coming up next month. And just homework in general. It's been fine.
I guess that's a ringing endorsement.
I suppose so.
All right. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got started with The Wandering Inn? What got you to start reading it? Do you keep up with... Are you current? Let's ask that.
I am current. And I started The Wandering Inn actually on Royal Road, just looking for neat stories. And that's how I got into The Wandering Inn. Eventually, I found the website, and that was ahead by a chapter, so I went there, and then a bit later, I went on to Patreon.
So, you are not someone who can wait like everybody else
nope.
does.
Waiting's hard. I'm not a fan of it.
Besides, I don't think it's even on Royal Road anymore.
I think the original stuff is still there, but they might have stopped updating completely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's not listed on... Whenever you look, it's not listed as one of the... Actually, I shouldn't say that. I actually haven't looked and seen, but maybe it's still there?
It doesn't appear to be there anymore. I just tried to Google it.
Nope. Oh, I guess Pirate removed
not
it.
Not there. It's...
Honest...
There's two fan
Are
fictions.
You... Are you a fan of audiobooks?
I don't listen to many, but I've heard that the one for The Wandering Inn is pretty good, though I haven't listened to it yet.
I'm asking because you do the sound editing for us, and thank you so much. We kind of needed that. I could not listen to my own voice, let alone Dragoness's forever.
Yeah, no, listening to my voice is terrible, but yet somehow listening to Oshi's was worse.
I appreciate all you do for us, and we just wanted you to come on and just participate a little bit. And I guess we could, like, talk about your personal life or something, but that seems weird.
I don't want to do that.
But, yeah, I don't want to do that either. Instead, what we could talk about is, can you tell us a little bit about, like, the kind of books you read and things that you went to? Because usually we have books to talk about, but since we're doing back-to-back recordings on this one... I haven't read anything new in the last week, and or at least in the last 24 hours.
Well, I'm currently on a lull, not reading too much, but I do like to read Sanderson, Stormlight Archive, Mistborn, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Just fantasy
okay.
in general.
I'm gonna start something right now. Hearing about Sanderson and Mistborn is like hearing about Tolkien when I was 12. Everybody reads the same book. This has nothing, this is no comment on you, Liquid Ender. Everybody reads the same book. And why can't they read? And I am now officially that old person talking about Ursula Le Guin. I literally met someone recently who went, I've never, like, Ursula Le Guin's mid because they read two short stories that they were forced to in high school. And decided to give up on Ursula Le Guin and never read any of her novels. Curse you, universe! Sorry, this has nothing to do with you, but I need to rant for a second.
As a huge Sanderson fan, I'm just going to say everybody's read these same books because they're really good and have good, like, good, like, appeal
exactly.
to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Or it could just be because they're popular. And has nothing to do with whether they're better or worse or anything like that. They're just decent books who are popular. You know what? I'm going to be that
Do you
person
know
from
how
the
they
fantasy
got
subreddit.
popular?
By being good.
Don't you
By
dare.
being good.
Don't you dare. I know I
Thank
defend
you, Lupin.
pirate things.
You're welcome, Dragoness.
Listen, I'll be the first person to admit that the first Mistborn trilogy has its flaws. Right? I'm not going to pretend that's some sort of perfect book series. But if you try and come at me and say Stormlight Archive is mid, then we're going to have words.
Okay, fine. Sorry, we talked over you. You were telling us about your wonderful foray into Brandon's Anderson.
Well, it's just I've been trailing off and not reading a lot of books recently, and that those were just the last ones that I had done. Other than that, I think I picked up a sci-fi book was the one before that, but I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, that's always a rousing endorsement when you're trying to remember a book and can't.
Yeah, sorry.
I've read a few like that.
Honestly, I'm
So,
not that interesting. I don't do
I
much.
mean, neither are
Everyone.
me or Oshi, but yet somehow we managed to fill up time. I guess my
I'm.
question would be.
Whoa, 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 whoa. I am fascinating. I am fascinating. I fascinate many people. Okay?
Do you watch much anime, read much manga?
No. I do not. The subs are often weird, and I can't be bothered to read. Well, no, sorry. The dubs are often weird, and I can't be bothered to read the subs.
Fair
I mean,
enough.
that's fair. Yeah. And manga can be a whole nother thing. But let's move on, I guess. We're gonna do a really fast move on to talking about the Goblins Part 2. Here, today's episode is gonna be more centered around Rags, and we're gonna try and answer, at least talk about what the theme of the Volume 3 Goblin chapters are all about, which is answering the question of what's a goblin? Or what is or is not a goblin? Dragonus, expound.
I mean, so the last episode we talked about was just the Red Fangs, and even then it was just a small group of Red Fangs elites, right? Liquid, because he had wouldn't have heard it yet, we just did the Esalm chapters with the Red Fangs and the Florist.
All right.
And the sort of core theme across the stuff the Red Fangs were a part of, outside of what is it to be a person and what is it to be a monster, was what is it to be a goblin? And the Red Fangs thought real long and hard about that and figured whatever it wasn't what Garen, Red Fang himself wanted them to do. And this chapter expands that by showing us more alternative views of what it is to be a goblin, and the way that different goblin tribes and societies have formed up and tried to define this for themselves.
Yeah, that's fair enough view of to what the question is.
What did you? Well, here's a question for you both, actually. What did you guys think of the goblins in Volume 3? By the time you got to Volume 3, like, did you have favorites? Did you hate them? Did you love them? I've talked ad nauseum about my opinion on the early level Rags and the introduction of the other goblin characters.
Rags is always, if not a favorite, then at least up there, in my opinion. Garen, at least from how he's introduced to now to throughout Volume 3, is always just a jerk, and you don't really like him that much. Although he gets better in hindsight, which is all I'll say about that.
Yeah, true. In fine Pirate ABBA fashion, once you get to know and understand more about who Garen is as a person, it's a lot hard to hate him the way that you do in the beginning. It's a talent of pirates. Garen, though, the thing that struck me the most about Garen when he got introduced towards that tail end of Volume 2 stuff is that he came across as being oddly sneaky for a goblin when it came to the way that he wanted to handle and was in this weirdly un-goblin-like chain of command, which doesn't really stand out until this volume, but even then, like throwing the fight and putting Rags in charge and then trying to lead anyways because she's inexperienced, it was a very human political manipulative, un-goblin move.
And of course, sending out the warriors to try and kill Aaron.
Yeah.
He's
Dick move,
not,
Garen.
like, as he's represented, it's. I kind of. Having read 10 million words of Pirate Abba's written works, and because I spend time thinking about and working on this stuff a lot. I noticed the literary patterns in how Pirate writes their characters. And it's always the same, right? If you create a character that isn't explicitly opposed to whoever the focus of the chapter is, they generally tend to have a lot more nuance to them. And just because and Pirate has this tendency to create layered characters by first making you hate them. And not necessarily hate them, but just have them be opposition in some way. That opposition, they play with that in other ways because the opposition isn't necessarily what you think it is. Oftentimes it can be supportive or side characters who are sort of aghast at things like Erin does stuff and she kind of pulls along Celis, and then Celis grows as a person because of it, and it's just like has nothing to do with Erin. It's just she acts as a catalyst, and Pirate does that. Layered characters, layered motivations, and it's very realistic to life. I enjoy the way Rags kind of plays the Erin part in Volume 3. Whether or not you see the changes happening, her exploration of what it means to be a goblin in these chapters, how she interacts with the Mountain City tribe, how she recognizes the trappings of civilizations that they take on, the way sexism exists, the way abuse is handled, the way the goblins treat each other. She decides at the core of herself, there's this. Okay, I'll tackle the concept, but that there's a sense of what she wants to be and what she believes versus what every other goblin is. And I think at the end of her arc here, she kind of comes to the conclusion that the people that she thought would be able to help her, even like goblins, other goblins, are not goblin. That the only way to achieve her goals, the only way to be the person that she wants to be, is to find her own path. And I think that was the whole point of everything that happened. And along the way, we learned about some of the nature of how goblins work, or at least the impression of it.
Yeah, we got to see some stuff about just goblins. I think the big overarching thing of goblinhood we got here was more details about shamans and shaman stuff with Ulvama,
Yes, definitely.
who is definitely a character.
I mean, she's. What did you think of her liquid?
She seemed pushy and a jerk in general. Honestly, that was my opinion of most of the Mountain City goblins. Even if they did fit the more stereotypical goblins from normal fantasy.
They kind of fit less goblins, more like hobgoblins. I know that within the inverse there's like a hierarchy of goblins to hobgoblins, but I'm talking about traditional D&D martial literature. It felt more like lawful evil versus the neutral or chaotic evil that normal goblins are supposed to be, right?
Yeah, the thing that I always think of when I think of the uniqueness of goblin culture and just the way that they seem to interact with one another is that they form very quickly into these sort of natural fit hierarchies that aren't exactly hierarchies. You have the chieftain at the top, but everyone below the chieftain is situationally equal, if that makes sense. Like the chieftain points, and then you poke the goblin next to you, and then everybody gets up and is moving quickly. That kind of a thing. Whereas the Mountain City tribe is absolutely trying to ape this human-style hierarchy system and acting, with this human-style politicking. Well, human is a stand-in, for all the various other races.
Civilized is what, like, they're trying to be civilized by the definition of the people that hunt them. So
Which,
they're,
oh yeah, go on.
yeah, so that what happens is you get this very accurate reflection of the social dynamics, which is pretty fucked up.
Yeah, no, Tremberag is, it says a lot about who, like, he is as a character, that and he could create any society that he wants within this incredibly well-defended goblin, safe-ish place, and he chooses to recreate the worst lens of, like, the people that are hunting and that he hates, so that he can try and prove himself their equal in this twisted, twisted way.
What did you guys? All right, let's start with Ligurnator. What did you think of Pyrite? Because I think Pyrite was the only goblin there that kind of impressed
He
me.
was the only one I really liked. Pyrite is my
Yeah.
favorite, and he is the best goblin.
He.
Pyrite's a good boy. But he stood out as this interesting contrast of. He was a Mountain City goblin, and he rejected it and left to build his own life as what he thought was goblin. And it's pretty clear that what he thinks is goblin lines up very well with what Rags is sort of forming her opinion of goblinhood to be. Because I'll be honest, she's kind of from a little tiny tribe on the ass end of nowhere, whose chief was, so small fry that he wound up getting murdered by an innkeeper. And yes, that's an exceptionally dangerous innkeeper, but my point stands. For what a goblin is to her is something she's sort of working out and defining for herself here. And I liked Pyrite as a mentor figure who didn't really tell her the answers. He just showed her what the Mountain City tribe was and asked her to say, "Hey, how do you feel about this? Where do you sit on this?"
Okay, so as far as my opinion when it comes to Pyrite is, I think the entire arc within the Mountain City tribe was really fascinating, not just because there was like an obvious good or bad choice. It wasn't about good or bad choices.
I mean, there were
Let
definitely some obvious bad choices with the Mountain Tribe, but
Very much so.
There were bad effects of the choices that Tremberek made, in that he formed a society that could and would allow those particular things to occur. But let's be real about what we re let's remember what the Red Fang Warrior showed us in the initial parts of Volume 3. They don't really have a lot of good choices. And when you don't have a lot of good choices, you make the ones that you have to, but it doesn't make you a monster. I talked about this in the last chapter. It is, you may have to act monstrously, and you have, but when you don't have any choice between a monstrous act and a non-monstrous one, then there is no choice in the matter. There is nothing you could do about it. You just are that, and yet you can still be a good person, a good leader, a good many things. Tremberag is scary, abusive, and overtly powerful, but he learned from people and beings that that's how you're supposed to act when you're in charge, and that's how you survive. And then he figured out a structure around that which helps goblins survive. That was his whole goal. He didn't, like, there is nothing there that isn't a choice that Rags could have made. Garen
We
is.
don't know enough about Trimborg's story to actually say that.
Yeah, I here's the thing. I get where you're coming from. I just think that you're being I very to put this. Yeah, sometimes in life you're put into positions where you have bad choices, and sometimes you make them. But he doesn't just make bad
Be
choices. He
stuck with them.
relishes them. He isn't just running that society for the shits and giggles of it. He I'm trying to put this. Tremberag is the person creating that society of goblins more than he is the person who was created by some other society to then go create it.
I don't agree because no one starts off like that.
Some people are just assholes. I don't know for a fact whether or not Tremberag is that some people, but consider that we've seen numerous goblins, and in this chapter and in the Red Fang chapter, who've all also suffered terribly and had terrible things done to them and lived horrible lives, and more than a few of them get up and leave.
That's the point I'm trying to make, though. I didn't completely finish my thought, but I was trying to make the parallel thing. Here's an evil, quote unquote, bad guy who's running this bad society, and Rax gets to see one extreme of what is possible. We know that there, with because of the Red Fang Warriors, because of Flower Girl, that there's another extreme that's possible, and Pyrite shows her that if you're willing to pay the cost, you can find a medium that allows you to survive, allows you to grow, and is more respectful of the kind of person that you want. She gets to be a chieftain. She levels up as a chieftain, and I think she consolidates into a chieftain class in the same chapter that she, like, Pyrite helps her understand the lay of the land and tells her about the other tribes. Oh my God, I forgot about this bit.
Oh yeah, all the other tribes.
Pyrite reveals that he's traveled enough to know about a bunch of other tribes that are different from Tremberak but are safe and don't have to move around. Like, he talks about a lava tribe, a fire tribe,
Molten
was it?
Stone.
Yeah, Molten Stone.
Right, he talks about Molten Stone tribe and a bunch of others. I can't remember all of the detail now, and I think I liked his description of them, but it was pretty cool. And we it It was interesting to see that, yes, there is more to goblin society than a subsistence level barbarian like hunter gatherer society, right?
Yeah, and that feels a lot like what Rags was trying to build when she got to Garen. Garen himself being another interesting take on what it is to be a goblin. And he has. We've seen from the Red Fangs that he taught when we had that, entire series of chapters from their perspective. And we see from the Red Fangs. Sorry?
Garen is a bandit or a raider who tries to pretend to be a knight.
Yeah, and he seems to have done a better job teaching the goblins that have learned from him than he,
Was himself.
Yeah, like the Garen who honorably surrendered to Rags because he felt she could be a better leader and wanted to mentor him, and the Garen who was in a long plan ploy to attempt to usurp power in the Mountain Tribe are both people living in the same body, and the Red Fangs have very much taken after one more than the other.
So in the chapters, we also get a lot of info dump, especially there's a section that talks about the last Goblin King, Velen the Kind, and the one before it that Greybeard reveals, which who was Kurlak.
Yep.
And I found it really fascinating just how much depth there was to the interaction between goblins and the Goblin Kings, the memories that came of the rage they felt and the kind of unceasing anger. Like, oh God, it was a whole thing that I just it was so fascinating, and I can't wait to see, like, I couldn't wait to see when I was reading the first time what that would lead to, because honestly, I wasn't, as I've said before, the goblins don't super fascinate me. On a personal level, I think the only one that I genuinely enjoyed seeing and all that was Poison Bite. Y'all liked
Of
a
course you would.
pyrite group, but I like po come on, what's wrong with Poison
Pyrite
Bite?
is better.
Oh, God, you guys are
I'm just
so weird.
saying that it makes sense to me that you would look at all of this, say, God, I'm not that big about goblins, but Poison Bite. Yeah, that tribe's cool.
What tribe? It's a person.
Yeah, but she has her own sort of like sub-tribe.
Oh, well, yeah, you're right. She does. But point, she's interesting to me. I don't know, something about punky girl. Okay, you know what? We're moving on. So we're
Well,
not going to
but
talk
before
about
we
it.
move on too hard, though, Tremberag, on the subject of Goblin Kings, also has that speech about how he said no to Velen the Kind right to his fucking face when Velen tried to call on him to join him.
That was also fascinating because the implication has always been that when the Goblin King arrives, every goblin it goes insane and follows them. It, when this clearly, the fact that Tremberag was able to do this means that it's a choice, or at least it's a choice that certain goblins can make.
Yeah, and he is a great goblin chieftain, so maybe he has something like to that. There's also just I'm not sure if it's to his credit as like a moral, no, I'll stay here and protect the
What?
goblins, or if it's to his detriment as a this guy was just so much of a coward that he refused to leave.
Well, this wasn't the chapters that had the actual flashback to when he said no himself, right?
I thought that was in this section.
Because if it was, then the flat he actually did cower out and didn't want to die. And the reason that they follow was because of Velen's aura.
Yeah, it's just with goblins and that sort of natural, hierarchical position and way that they settle in, that lead aura of leadership goblins have, it's described as being almost like a compulsion. They just feel compelled to follow him, which is actually really scary.
I think what kind of like losing yourself in that way, I wonder just how many of the goblins are willing to do it. Like, okay, how do I frame this? It's like knowing that every goblin, if you live long enough and grow into a person or whatever, there could come a moment in your life where a Goblin King appears and everything that you are. Every struggle that you've gone through to exist in a world that's essentially hostile to you could be wiped out because a Goblin King came and you just got, I don't know, something happened to you and you're no longer yourself.
Yeah, you just get subsumed into their rage.
I wish we had gotten to explore it a little bit more, but we really didn't, and it just. I mean, at the end of the sequence of the at the Mountain City, Pyrite, sorry, not Pyrite, Rags takes her tribe and leaves in a pretty dramatic way.
Looting the
Yeah,
armory
no,
and taking all the prisoners. Very dramatic.
Rags left and Rags made a statement on the way out.
Oh, yeah. She would not be what they were. And I did. Oh my God. I guess we didn't even talk about this, the whole sequence with the humans. Like how she treated them and how that happened. It was.
It was definitely a subject I felt like we had been dancing around because there's really not like a casual, light way to describe what Tremberag was up to there.
Systematic rape. Just tear off the bandage.
Yeah.
I don't really know where else to take the goblin ship. I just thought that the philosophical choice that you were talking about or all over this, it's such an important and integral thing that Pirate built over Volume 3. And they use multiple. I love the show don't tell rule. And I know it gets
Yeah.
overused and sometimes it's not the best way to take things. But Pirate definitely showed rather than told.
Yeah, this was a chance for us to really get into the minds of and see from Rags's perspective what it is and how the goblins are deciding for themselves. I just I love the goblins consistently are one of my favorite things about Wandering Inn, and Rags in these chapters is why. Because Rags, despite all of the terrible things that have happened to her, has looked at this system and said, "No, I'll build a better one or die trying. I'm not just going to settle for what I know works and play the game and do the politics and all of that other bullshit. I'm just going to take my chances and leave."
I guess I don't really have anything else to comment on for the Goblin chapters. Most of my focus was on the Red Fang and Flower Girl interactions because that made more of an impression on me because the survivors and what Flower Girl went through. The rest of what happens to Rags, I was fascinated by the lore, but I wasn't captivated as much by the particulars of the Goblin society, I guess.
Well, I mean, so as fascinating as I find the question, I think that the Mountain City tribe itself was kind of basic and boring, but I think they were deliberately so. They are just another shitty society. They've got their nobility, they've got their politics, they've got their horrible crimes in the background or in the foreground of their day-to-day, and that's just not Goblin.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I don't remember much else from about the goblins that I want to talk about, but did you have anything liquid that you wanted to chat about?
No. Goblins are surprisingly small in volume 3, at least when you separate out the Estome chapters.
Yeah, and the SL, did you want to talk about the SL chapters? Because we got to just chat about it all the time, but did you enjoy Flower Girl and
I
all the stuff?
really like that, and I can't wait till the next time we see ranks. So many volumes, it has
Oh.
yet to happen.
They come up a little bit more between here and then, but we shall not speak of
I
that
mean, a little.
because I need to sleep tonight.
They come up a little, but not the
Yeah.
same.
It's really not.
Yeah.
But
I do like, I did want to mention, I guess I'm a little bit vamping here, but I did want to mention that I do like the way Pirate makes Rags's journey more of an adventure story. A typical, ra literally, a rags to riches story kind of deal, where she grows in strength and power over time.
So one day, when Rags becomes a goblin lord, Rags should do like they used to do in some other societies, like old Japan, and just give herself a new name and call herself Riches.
That might be it. Yeah. I guess this is gonna be a short as hell episode.
Yeah.
We probably should have thought of more topics, but I honestly thought we'd have lots to talk about with the goblin stuff because Dragonus loves goblins, and I figured everybody else would have
Oh,
something to say.
I do love me some goblins, and I could probably find more stuff to talk about, but it's hard because Volume 4 and then in Volume 5 is where, Strikes Big is just more stuff building off of this as a foundation. And this
That's
really
true.
introduces a philosophical question that we're going to be asking for, like, the next 100 episodes of this podcast. What is a goblin?
All right.
Yeah.
So since we're gonna make this a short one then, thank you for coming on with us, Liquid
You're
Ender.
welcome.
You're welcome back anytime, and we'll try to have a more productive, chatty time with you at a later date.
I mean,
Thanks for.
to be fair, though, we did cover about the normal amount of like conversation we normally do about the chapter or the arc. We're too boring to come up with new stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we need like a full week to get angry at our work so we can bitch about it a little bit. Otherwise, it's just not gonna work. We're like filling 20 minutes of time with like us talking about books and new. Oh my God. I genuinely do not want to talk about the news at all.
Well, I mean, if we ever really feel the need to fill 20 minutes of time and we don't have a subject, I could just talk about Chainsaw Man for 20 minutes and why you
I
should be
can't.
watching it.
We. No. Let's just. Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye,
Bye.
everybody.
You've been listening to No Killing Goblins,
edited by Liquid Ender.
The music on No Killing Goblins was composed by System Glitch. They can be found at youtube.com/systemglitch. You can get in touch with us via our Twitter at No Killing Goblin, or email us at nokillinggoblins with an S at gmail.com.